There's a related doctrine, which I just mentioned, exhaustion of administrative remedies, which operates in many ways a lot like rightness doctrine. In each case, the courts say these are jurisdictional doctrines. If you do not follow them, if you do not ripen your case, if you do not exhaust your administrative remedies, you deprive the court of jurisdiction and you're supposed to be dismissed. As a result, you'll find a lot of plaintiffs before they go to court trying to ripen their cases locally. Let's take a look at somebody who didn't do such a good job of that. This is the overview of the scene near Lake Houston. You can see Lake Houston in the middle of your screen there at the bottom. The red dot is the site of this project. It's in an area called the Commons or the Crossing, which is a large development. I think of it as on the backside of Lake Houston. It's way up there. Kingwood is to your left on this picture. Lake Houston is below, and Houston City of is way off the picture to the south. These folks, the Commons people, got some. They made some headway. They filed a general plan for the area. They filed a subdivision plat for the area. Here's a copy of their subdivision plat. This was filed. I went and looked carefully at their plat dedication block. It was signed in December of 2017. So if you've followed the facts so far, you may get an idea of where this is heading. There they are on the shores of Lake Houston, actually very close to the San Jacinto River. They filed a plat on December 17th. If you're thinking this has something to do with Hurricane Harvey, you would be correct, because what happened was that after they started their development, they did their general plan, they did their plat, they did plans. They actually started, I think, some underground construction, and a new ordinance came along. Now, this was the city of Houston's floodplain ordinance that was adopted very clearly in relation or in reaction to huge flooding caused by Hurricane Harvey. There's a fateful email exchange in this case in which it's pretty clear that the court was highly influenced by this one, because during the development of this project and after the ordinance had been adopted, a representative of the developer wrote an email to a city official. This was a managing engineer. This was not an elected official. This was a staff member at the city of Houston, and said, I'm hoping you might be able to answer a question related to the ordinance that I'm having trouble tracking down. This is the developer representative. I realize you aren't an attorney, but I was hoping either this had come up already in internal discussions and you might know the answer, et cetera. I'm trying to do some advanced planning for a couple of large tracts. It doesn't mention what they are, and want to make sure I plan correctly. The engineer for the city writes back and says, you are right, I'm not an attorney, but I can tell you that while the plat would in fact be grandfathered, and he asked specifically the plat we were looking at, and would not have to be replatted due to the ordinance change, the particulars of the improvements, which is the requirements for elevation of structures and mitigation requirements, you know, the typical floodplain things, are not part of the plat. And she goes on and finishes up and says, I hope this helps you. Let me know, and I will try to get you more information if I can. So then the developer's representative replies again and says, quote, I think so, .. Really appreciate the thoughts. And needless to say, good luck with all the fun stuff coming your way with this new ordinance! ! And a smiley face. Now, I have to say, that's the first emoji I've ever seen in a reported appellate opinion. But he might just as well have added, see you in court, because that's what happened next. They sued. And here's what they did. They went into court. They claimed that this new ordinance made their project unfeasible because the flood elevations were so much higher. Just to give you an idea of what was involved, the old flood elevation was the 100-year floodplain plus 1 foot. The new one, under the new ordinance, was the 500-year floodplain plus 2 feet. Now, the 500-year floodplain is lower statistically in probability, but higher in water level or theoretical water level. So you add a higher level and then 2 feet to a higher level, you come up with quite a lot higher. They claimed it made their project unfeasible. They sued claiming inverse condemnation and also that they were vested in the old ordinance. They had a vested right. The city, of course, defended by saying it's not right. Why? There was no final decision. That email exchange, whatever you want to call it, was certainly not a final decision. And of course, the court quickly agreed when they saw the what actually happened, and they quoted those that exact exchange that I read from a moment ago in their appellate opinion. It's clear that they were heavily influenced by the just the very nature of that exchange. Abstract, hypothetical, not a specific project at all, definitely not a permit or a specific decision that could be acted upon in the courts. Let's move next. The next case is out of the city of Austin. These are the, this is the Zatari family. It appears on one of the online sites that covered Austin. They